Hey everyone, I want to quick jump on and talk about spitting today. This came up this week and in the last probably couple of weeks as well too. I've been getting a lot of questions about spitting and strategies to work on spitting, and it's been a question that has come up many times in the past as well too for therapists. So I think it'd be a good one to just talk about some different ideas and strategies that you can use in the clinic with our patients. We had a great success this week. Rachel shared a strategy that she used that was really helpful for with a patient. So I thought let's organize a bunch of the ideas that we currently have, and that will help us think of them maybe some new strategies too. So before we get started talking about strategies for spitting, think first about all that is required in spitting. It's a pretty complicated motor plan. Anything oral is complicated because we can't see our mouth. Our kids with more poor motor planning, this compensate often by looking at the body part that needs to move. You can't really do that easily in the mouth, and it's quite complicated to explain to somebody how to move their tongue and cheeks. Even if you think about all the movements that are needed to swallow, or sorry, to spit, they're complicated. It's hard to explain, but you can feel it. But our kids with poor motor planning can't, and our kids with sensory issues probably can't either. All right, we have our kids who have poor oral awareness, or even poor oral discrimination. They have a hard time knowing where things are in their mouth and detecting sensations in their mouth. They're going to have a really hard time with tasks that require oral movements. And our kids who have oral sensitivity may also have difficulty because they might become dysregulated and enter into like a fight or flight kind of response in response to some kind of oral input. So, you know, with toothbrushing, for example, there's a lot of oral input happening, and there's toothpaste, there's lots of different flavors happening. So some of our kids might panic a little bit or start to panic because they feel a gag coming on and they're so overly sensitive to that. It triggers this fear response and then they just can't motor plan. So there's certainly a lot of sensory components. And then motor-wise, there can be weakness, motor planning, and coordination issues. There's tongue movement that's involved with spitting. There's cheek movement. And there's some lip movement as well too. So you have to be able to take a drink of something or have liquid in your mouth and hold the liquid in there, which is going to require some lip closure. And then you're going to have to organize that liquid, right? Liquid is going to naturally want to spread across the entire oral cavity and kind of take up your whole mouth space. But we can't spit from fluid that's in our cheeks. We have to have it in the center of our mouth. So we have to use our cheeks and our tongue to bring it to the middle, just like we would for food with a bolus. So we have to move all that liquid and organize it. And it's not, you know, think about like holding water in your hands. You cup your hands and hold water, and you could do this with these kids too. They probably have a hard time with that. It's hard because you have to make sure you create this tight seal and to really cup your hands in just a way to hold liquid, because it's going to take the shape of the container. And our mouth is equally as challenging, more so probably because we can't see it. So all of that has to happen, and then you have to keep your lips together and hold that all in and not swallow. You're fighting this urge to swallow, and our natural instinct often is if things are in our mouth, we're probably going to swallow it. So we have to fight all that and then hold all in our mouth and then use our tongue to push it out. So it's pretty complicated. So there's a lot of different things you can try, and I think for the most part, I feel like a lot of our kids, it just takes some trial and error because there's a lot of pieces, and there's also sensory differences that can impact how they respond to it. I usually first start with, can they hold air in their cheeks, puff out their cheeks and hold air in their cheeks? And then I might move to fluid, water, and then if not water, maybe something thicker. Can they just hold it in their mouth? It's going to give you a lot of insight also about their motor planning. If they take a drink and they can't hold liquid in their mouth because they just keep drinking it, then you might want to try to modify a little bit so we're not triggering that swallow reflex. So you could have them use the nosy cup and take small sips of water and maybe tip their head forward so that they're not, some of our kids kind of like take a drink and it goes right back to the back of their throat and it makes them swallow. So you could play around with that and then just have them practice letting the water dribble out of their mouth, like gravity assisted kind of spitting where they're not really doing anything with their mouth, but they're just good to open their mouth and let it out. So just practicing, hey, just because liquid's in your mouth doesn't mean you have to swallow it. You could also do something else with it. And then you might want to practice spitting with other things besides water, right? Most commonly our kids are needing to spit because of toothbrushing. So there's mostly water. It's a little sudsy maybe from the toothpaste, and it doesn't have a ton of flavor to it. So it's hard to detect from a sensory perspective and hard to manage orally. So you could try something thicker like applesauce or another puree. This will give more sensory feedback to the mouth and also be easier to form into a shape because there's more consistency to it. The flavor also can help too, because you can play around with different flavors. You can certainly go more obviously positive flavors, but also bigger flavors for our kids who have poor sensory awareness, so they can have better awareness of where it is in their mouth and what their mouth is doing. Because remember, that sensory piece is giving their body feedback about where is my tongue, what is it doing? Or where are my cheeks and what are they doing? You could also try having them spit objects like food. So for example, you could have them put piece of candy in their mouth and spit it out. And you could vary this in different ways. You could have them put it at their lips and see if they can, they hold it in their lips. You can work on some lip closure and lip pursing, and then practice the tongue movements to push it out, like just like we would do if we were blowing a rocket with our SOS therapy. You could also increase the challenge to have them put it on their tongue and then try to spit the M&M or whatever piece of candy out. Or then you can make it even harder and have them put it inside their cheek and see if they can bring it to the center and then spit it out. You want to make it more similar to actual spitting. You could have them put a handful of M&Ms, not a handful, but, you know, like several or so in their mouth and see if they can just spit out one. So can they kind of keep all those in one space and just spit out one? Certainly, if you're going to go more like water-based thin liquid spitting, you may want to at least try increasing the flavor by adding something flavored to it, maybe some juice or something like that, so they can have at least better oral awareness. And then there's ideas with straws. That's another big go-to that we go to for working on spitting, is using straws to blow objects across the table. So you could blow cotton balls or tissue, like tissues, and practice the movements there for them to be able to blow. And similar, not very similar, but similar enough to spitting is a good prep activity, and just waking up the mouth as well too. You could have them make bubbles with their straw, so put it in liquid and blow into the cup so it makes bubbles in the water. Or we also have the bubble towers. There's these big cups in the kitchen you can use. You put a little dish soap at the bottom and a little bit of water, and then they stick a straw in and they have to blow really hard, and the bubbles will come up like a big tower and kind of overflow like a volcano. So now you can work on some sustained breathing too, right? And holding the breath and pushing out and also holding their lips in that position. The nice thing about these is it gives a tactile cue for what to do with their lips. So instead of just making them purse their lips to blow, which you could also do, you could have them, you know, do these same activities without the straw minus the bubble tower. But you could do blowing bubbles, regular bubbles, or blowing a cotton ball across the table and just not use a straw and have them use their lips. The nice thing with the straw, though, is our kids who have motor planning, sensory issues, which are a lot of our kids, they get the tactile feedback to their lips, so they know what to do and what they are doing. On top of that, a lot of these then give you the visual feedback that, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And spitting gives you that too when you're successful, because you see the spit come out. So you have this visual that says, ah, okay, I did it. But a lot of our kids struggle to even get to that point. Those are all things you could do with a straw. Do be careful if you're doing the bubble tower, because our kids with motor planning issues, sometimes the cue, that tactile cue from a straw, triggers them to drink and swallow, because they are depending on these habitual movement patterns to function. So be cautious that they might drink it on accident, and it might very much surprise them. So you might want to try with just water before you move to soap if they have lots of motor planning issues. I had a patient once that we were working on spitting, and kind of the similar thing. We first started with these straw activities, and I wanted him to just blow into the straw to make bubbles in the water. I thought he would think that was super cool. But every time I gave him a straw, he drank. He like could not change the motor plan every time that straw touched his mouth. So it was a little complicated working on that point, because he went to these very habitual movement patterns. Then you could make it more complex too and have them suck up water through a straw and then spit it into another cup. So at least now you're getting this concept of like bringing liquid into the mouth, holding it and spitting it out, because they're not drinking it. And you're practicing having them shift this motor plan from sucking to blowing. Then we can really make sure this is a deliberate kind of voluntary motor plan and not them just having that habitual motor plan. You could work on the T sound for spitting. So you could teach them t, 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 to spit that way, using the tongue motion and really exaggerating the T sound to give them, again, that auditory feedback that, hey, you're doing what your tongue needs to be doing, to help them push the liquid out of their mouth. You could do that with anything in the mouth. You know, you could do that with, like, water, juice, or a puree, too. And then you may want to even play around with flavors. And this is where Rachel had some great success this week with a kiddo who is autistic, has lots of significant difficulties with engagement and motor planning. And these are kids that it's really, really hard to teach spitting to because it requires usually a lot of cognition, following directions, and motor planning. And she gave him very salty water, and she gave him a warning. So you should always, if you're going to give a kid something like this, give them a warning. But she's using the concept of, we are more likely to kind of habitually or involuntarily spit something out that has a noxious flavor, right? Something that's way too salty. You could also play around with other flavors like sour or bitter. Because remember, bitter is one of those flavors that triggers our body to go, oh, this might be poison. So pay attention. So you could play around with different flavorings too. And, you know, just make sure you give the kid a heads up that this is going to be yucky. I would be cautious about kids who have really poor sensory awareness because they might not detect the difference. And our kids who are really sensitive because this might be way too much for them. And we're actually, with our sensitive kids, we want to reduce that fight or flight response so they are more calm with food and liquid and flavors in their mouth. So with our kids who are overly sensitive, you may want to go more plain flavors and just increase more visual feedback and practicing the motor plan without the sensory intensity. Some other things to think about, because it is a difficult motor plan to do, using a mirror can be helpful so they can see what they're doing. And any kind of sensory preparation can be helpful, especially for our kids who do have poor awareness and poor discrimination. So, you know, games with ice or playing around with vibration around the cheeks and inside the mouth. We have the Z vibes, and even just practicing the different motor components of spitting with all those other activities that we were just discussing, you know, holding, puffing out your cheeks and holding air in, or blowing through a straw, or just holding liquid in your mouth. That's often where I will start as well with kids, is I'll just say, take a drink and hold it. And can you do that? And then once you get them to spit, you want to really put that back into the overall sequence, because remember that a lot of our kids who have trouble spitting often have motor planning issues. So if you just teach them spitting in isolation, like take a drink and spit, you're not really helping them learn the full sequence, because really we brush our teeth and then we spit. So we wanted to make sure they can practice alternating between brushing and holding. When you're brushing your teeth, you're holding liquid in your mouth. And on top of that, your tongue is moving around because it's a reflexive movement wherever your toothbrush is. And stopping every once in a while to spit when it becomes too much. They may or may not recognize when they need to do that. And putting it in the sequence of that toothbrushing sequence. And then also you want to figure out and make sure that they can do that motor plan in response to that sensory stimuli. So during toothbrushing and with the flavor of their toothpaste, because those are all about these sensory cues, are cues for our body to do something. So especially our kids with motor planning issues and sensory issues, that can be complicated. So you want to make sure you go and put it back together in the sequence. So that's kind of a summary of, at least from my various conversations with all of you, accumulation of the strategies that we've been using in the clinic overall. But if you have any other new ideas, I would love to add to this list. So shoot me an email or let me know. Thanks.